and thanks for listening to the Revival Today podcast with Evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or online at revivaltoday.com. Now, here's Evangelist Jonathan.
You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open it with me to Exodus chapter 15. I had two people, and I was already planning on doing this tonight, but I had two people that approached me this afternoon that have cancer in their body and wanted prayer, and I told them if they came back tonight, I'd devote the whole service to it because I was planning on doing that anyway. And so if you're watching online, you see the title of the message, and I'm going to do this for you too. So here's what I want to do. I've never done this before, but since I can't go to all your houses and pray for you tonight, I want you to get grape juice and unleavened bread, cracker, whatever you want to do, but it needs to be grape juice and a cracker, all right? You can't take communion with Sprite and a M&M or whatever you hear people saying on charismatic TV. If you don't have it, you can go on Uber Eats or DoorDash and somebody will deliver it to you. And if you know how long I preach, then you have time, so get it. As long as I preach, you have time to develop your own grape juice company and have that by the end. And then when I pray for people, I'm gonna have you administer the communion to your own body, and that'll be the way that you receive in your house. One thing you realize when you start preaching is that people need prayer, and they're sick. And it doesn't matter. It's almost like it doesn't matter how. There's just an endless sea. I mean, you can see it with the ministry of Jesus. There's just nonstop waves of people coming that needed healed. You can see it in the book of Acts, that they'd finished their service, and the town that didn't attend Peter's service laid the sick in the streets that perchance his shadow would fall across them. How many of you were here last night? I played that crusade video from Newark, New Jersey, and you saw me laying hands on everyone. And I told you, I didn't call to lay hands on people. I went to leave, and people blocked me. You know, it's New Jersey. They don't ask. They blocked the entry and said, I need you to pray for me and lay your hands on my head. And a lot of the people had just got saved that night. Some of them weren't saved but wanted prayer. You know, you don't even have to be a Christian to receive healing from Christ. Everybody Jesus healed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wasn't a Christian. Now, you need to be a Christian to keep your healing, because if you're not in the kingdom of God, then the enemy can come right back and snatch at once the seed that was planted. But Jesus never made anybody commit to follow him before he'd heal them. He'd heal them, and then out of the love that was produced, they would begin to follow him after that. Can you say amen? Amen. And Jesus hasn't changed. So I would say from the time I started in the ministry, May 10th, 2002, until now, that's the thing that I realized is, I among many other things, I don't want to say I took for granted, but I guess I kind of did, even though I was thankful for it. I have a father who's a Pentecostal preacher. My mother is a Pentecostal woman, and we weren't sick in our house. I haven't battled sickness. My mother hasn't. My father hasn't. And then I got out in the world and realized there's some people that have been tormented by this thing called sickness and disease their whole life. In fact, I'll tell you something interesting about how much people need healing. I was talking to a Baptist evangelist who was telling me something that happened to the Southern Baptist Convention, that they had to make a change in their rules, because they sent their Baptist evangelists to India to preach. There was a team of, I think, about eight of them. And so they did a simple salvation presentation, but then where they were preaching out in the bush in India, there were no hospitals close by, and the people heard them talking about this God. You know, even if you're not a miracle preacher, if you start preaching about God, he runs his mouth a lot in the Bible. I am mighty. There's no one like me. Call on me and I will answer you and show you great mighty things you know not. So people start hearing that, and they haven't been to a Bible college to tell them, no, you're not actually supposed to take that literally. They take it literally. So they started coming up out of the crowd and saying, I need prayer. My child was born with whatever's wrong. Could you pray? Well, what are you going to do? You thought, no, we actually are cessationists. And their hearts were so moved by the crying women and the crying children that were asking if they could pray, that the eight of them said, let's pray for them. You know, we're not being live streamed or anything. Let's do. Well, what happened? When they prayed, people started getting healed. And then they had a problem. because they went back home and said, are you going to tell me that I did this by demon power? I'm a Baptist evangelist. I prayed in the name of Jesus and Jesus did that. And that's why years ago, the Southern Baptist Convention had to amend their rules that missionaries were allowed to pray for the sick because of what happened from the hunger of the people. I'm going to tell you right now, if you do the ministry, there's no way to escape ministering to the sick. Jesus did it. God the Father did it in the Old Testament. Elijah did it. Elisha did it. God is not just moved with compassion about sin. God is moved with compassion over this affliction that comes on people called sickness and disease. And what you're going to hear me preach tonight is a very simple message. I've preached hundreds of messages on healing. I used to preach about 46 weeks a year. I probably do more than that now that I'm pastoring too. 46 weeks, and like you see me doing today, morning service, night service, 6 days a week. So you end up touching on healing quite a bit. One time, I went through my notes and just wrote down the five most important thing that people need to know from the Bible about healing. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The testimony we played last night, the lady that was healed from muscular dystrophy, that was in a wheelchair, paralyzed from the scalp down, needed her head supported on a ventilator. What changed? She realized from the Bible that God doesn't heal some and then pick others not to heal. And as soon as she got that from the Bible, everything turned around. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I've made this as simple, and the Bible is a very simple book. I've made this as simple as can be tonight, and I want you to listen, and then behind God's word comes God's power. Who has believed our message, Romans chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. Who has believed our message, and to whom is the strong right arm of the Lord revealed? Listen to that. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the strong right arm of the Lord been revealed? When you believe God's word, because it's a living word, it moves his hand to make his word good in your life. There's going to be people in this room tonight. The last bout with sickness you ever had will be the last bout you ever had in Jesus' mighty name. There is no closed case with God. There is no closed case with God. You can call on God tonight and expect him to do the impossible because he is the Almighty God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he has not changed. He's the same today, and he'll never change. Exodus 15, verse 22. Then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the desert of Shur. They traveled in the desert for 3 days without finding any water. When they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink. So they called the place Marah, which means bitter. Then the people complained and turned against Moses. What are we going to drink? They demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help. And the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water sweet to drink. If you ever went to a water, and I'm not trying to be gross or make people laugh, but I'm making a point. If you ever went to a water park and an infant went number two in the pool and they have to clear the pool out, they don't clean it by taking a piece of wood. The head of maintenance doesn't come with a stick, throw it in the water and go, all right, everybody can jump back in the pool. Wood doesn't clean water. This was a supernatural sign that God gave where he showed Moses a piece of wood. Think of it. The water full of scum and bacteria and virus. And Moses took that wood that the great Baptist pastor D.L. Moody said that wood was a type of the cross. And when he threw that wood in the water, it cleared all of the scum and amoebas and virus and bacteria out and made the water sweet to drink. It was a supernatural object, listen. And here's how you know. Because after he did it, God had something to say. It was there at Marah that the Lord set before them the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to him. He said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, that's the foundation for divine health. And I want you to hear something tonight. I'm not just preaching God can heal you when you get sick. I'm telling you, you can leave here and never have another bout with sickness again. Because God is not giving the Israelites a plan where he said, every time you get sick, I'll heal you. He's telling them, the same way that wood cleared sickness out, I will clear sickness and disease out of your midst. And that's what God will do. And I want you to hear that. And I know the amen's tailed off because people don't even know. Many people don't even believe in healing. Then of the ones who do believe in healing, it's how we know God can heal you when you're sick. Yes, he can heal you when you're sick. But you don't have to wait to get sick to be healed. The Bible says he'll keep sickness and disease out of your midst. Here it is. If you'll obey me. Everybody say obey God. Now, I'm enjoying health here in California this week. Why? I'm in the will of God. I knew God wanted me here. What if I turn it out? No, I know God wants me to preach in California, but I'd like to stay home this week. Well, I'm actually flirting. I'm open to attack because I'm out of the will of God. Staying in the will of God is the foundation to everything God wants you to do. Obeying God. It's not just expecting the blessings to rain down on you. It's staying on the path where the blessings flow. If you believe that, can you say amen? Amen. Then I will not, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands, and keeping all his decrees. I'm a pastor. You know, I was an evangelist for 21 years, like I told you. Now I pastor. If you have a part to play. If you'll put me first and keep my decrees. You know, you have a family in your church that misses church whenever there's a baseball tournament or whatever tournament. Then someone's sick. They need prayer. I feel like telling them, have your little league coach pray for them then. That's where your commitment is. If you come to God's house and stay in covenant with him, that's where the blessings flow. Jesus will either be everything or he'll be nothing at all. God's raising up a great group of people in California that aren't going to have a 50% commitment. They're going to give everything to the Lord tonight in Jesus' name. If you believe it, can you say amen? Doing what is right in his sight. I mean, no, it's not about what we've done. It's about what he's done. Yes, as far as salvation goes, that's true. But then after salvation, you have to walk the path of life. Now, I know there's other guys my age that teach the opposite, but stick around for 15 years and see who still has a ministry and see who's in court for DUIs. When people start preaching an excuse for sin, there's a reason for it. Can you say amen? What I'm preaching to you tonight is not a new thing, even if it sounds new. This is what Oral Roberts preached. This is what Lester Sumrall preached. This is what Kenneth Hagin preached. This is what R.W. Shambach preached. This is the message that works. Can you say amen? I want to tell you another thing. People that don't have miracles should shut up about doctrine. Because you say, well, just because you have miracles doesn't mean you have right doctrine. That's true. But if you don't have miracles, then you don't have right doctrine. Because it is impossible to preach the word of God and not have signs and wonders following. You will see signs and wonders following your life from this day in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, go ahead. Take 15 seconds. Clap your hands to the Lord one more time. Amen. If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord. Yeah, I don't want to move on off this. There's a problem if you go to church for 18 years and never see anybody get out of a wheelchair or a blind eye come open or something's wrong. Something is wrong. Yeah, see, three amens and a grunt. Because people accept it. They think it's normal. It's not normal. If you read the book of Acts, there were people getting healed on the way into prayer meetings, on the way out of church. Healing is the children's bread. Healing is our covenant calling card. Strong healing. I'm not saying every service, every person in a wheelchair, that would be great. I'm saying if you go to church faithfully for 18, people shouldn't wonder. I raised my child in church, and then when I sent them to college, they came back and they're agnostic now. No wonder. If I went to church for 52 Sundays for 18 years and heard about a mighty God who raises the dead and never saw one evidence that he was alive, all it would take was one humanistic teacher to mock and go, yeah, you know, the guy's got a point, but I'm going to tell you on the flip side. When you sit in meetings and see the demonstration of God's power, good luck. I saw enough by the time I was 9 in my father's meetings, in my Uncle Ted's meetings. There'd have been no chance. It's not something I learned about. The Bible says we have handled these things and seen them with our eyes. You can't get two heroin dealers in two different rooms in the police station and not have them contradict or bail on each other. Ask any police officer. So how do you get 500 Christians or more in the early church that none of them will turn their back on God? Willing to get filleted, willing to get burned alive, willing to get crucified upside down, stoned to death, because they saw. And I'm telling you, that's part of the purpose of tonight. You need to have an encounter with the power of God where you realize these are not cleverly concocted stories. We serve a miracle working God. He's a miracle working God. When he steps on the scene, sickness and disease steps out. When he steps on the scene, how many of you were here Sunday night? I didn't even pray for the sick. And the lady's deaf ears came open. Why? You can't talk about Jesus without his power showing up. There's a lot of and I'm not bashing preacher, you know, I'm not making myself like I'm the best preacher. Far from it. Far from it. But I will tell you, there's a lot of people in America, young preachers my age, they've got cool clothes, they have a cool haircut, they have a great stage presence, they have cool graphics, but they don't have the power of God. There's a problem, because you can't give a cool message to get someone delivered from heroin. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what miracles do. You know that land that we were given? 24.8 acres to build the church. I had a guy call to do $2.5 million of excavation work for free. He owns an excavation company. You know why? He said, Jonathan, somebody sent me the clip. He doesn't go to our church. Somebody sent me the clip that you were given that land and it needs excavation work. He said, I have an excavation company. You probably don't remember this, but in 2011, my son, Austin, was in your meeting. And he got in line to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. But when he stopped speaking in tongues, he had Tourette's, verbal Tourette's, so bad that they sent him home from public school and paid the parents to homeschool him because it disrupted the class and other students made fun and it was too much of a nuisance. And when he quit speaking in tongues, the ticks were gone and he could go back to school. But that was just the beginning. That man's foreman at his excavation site's name, I still remember him, was named Pat Kelly, big Irish guy with a shaved head, big guy. He would never come to church. They invited him. He was a nice guy, but he was a rough living guy who had no time for church. He loved Austin. Austin was in eighth grade. So they're talking the next day, and after they get a few phrases into their talking, he goes, what happened to your ticks? Do they have you on a new medication? We were at that meeting 3 weeks. I'm in Tennessee next week. I'm not trying to like prime the pump to stay in California. Though I could be tucked into it, but I'm leaving. So he said, I said 3 weeks. When you have long meetings, like a week, two services a day, this stuff can happen. You can hit it and stuff can grow. And then people from families here. My dad did a meeting in Otisville, Michigan. The church had 140 people. He stayed 6 weeks. On the final night, they had 880 people in a 500-seater. There was one woman that went to that meeting. She was the only one in her family that went to church. At the end of the meeting, her husband got saved. Their children got saved. All of her brothers and sisters and their wives and children got saved. All of the husband's brothers and sisters. It went on week one, she was the only one in the section. At the end of the revival, there were 48 family members, both sets of grandparents, maternal grandparents and paternal grandparents. Somebody say revival. That's revival. Busting the devil's head. I'm going to tell you right now, you think California's far gone? God could do something in this state in 4 weeks that would turn the thing on its ear. That's a fact. The devil's the one that needs a lot of time to set up shop. He could take from the 1980s till now 40 years to turn this place liberal. God could, in 40 days. Nineveh, in 40 days, one message turned around. I'm telling you right now, God will make a mockery of the devil in California. God will light this state on fire once again, and you're going to be a part of it in Jesus' name. If you receive that, go ahead. Take 15 seconds and let it rip. It's a fact. when Pat Kelly saw that that kid didn't have any Tourette's anymore, he came to the meeting that night. And I still remember as clear as day. I was standing up preaching. There was a guy with an excavation company t-shirt on and jeans and work boots and huge muscles, shaved head. And he sat the whole time looking at me like this. And then when I gave the invitation to get saved, he never bowed his head or closed his eyes. He went like this. He came down to the altar. Then he got cancer a year later. They called for me to come and I prayed. God healed him of the cancer. And it went like that. And then that's how we have labor for excavation. Because if you do the work of the ministry, you ever notice in our ministry we don't have to raise money? Money just flows in. Jesus never had to raise money. Money flew in because they were actually ministering to people. Now, I'm going to tell you something. All these life groups and home groups, you know why they popped up? Because people aren't getting ministered to on Sunday. So you have to have all this other stuff going on during the week so people can get prayer. You don't dismiss a service. I'm telling you now, I'm a pastor. And I don't have the biggest church, but I have a miraculously large church for 17 months old. And I'm telling you, one of the secrets is I don't close after 80 minutes and say, if you need prayer, we have prayer partners here. They don't want prayed for by a prayer partner. You're the minister. Oral Roberts would lay hands on everybody in the tent. 58 years old. R.W. Schambach, I went to go see him. He was 81. He preached for 2 hours and anointed everybody in the building with oil, 1,100 people. I waited in line for 45 minutes. 80. You're 35? You got to go to the back and have a Fiji water? Like you just did a 90-minute set at Madison Square Garden? Buck up and work. If you were doing something else, you'd be carrying sheetrock up six flights of stairs. The work of the ministry. Jesus taught, then preached, then healed under a Middle Eastern sun in the middle of the summer, and he blessed all the sick. That's what God's looking for. People that love people. Continuing with this evening's reading. If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all of his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases. You know, even the guy that gave us that $5.7 million building for a church, do you know how that came about? I felt to go pray for this older woman that my grandma knew, her sister. I hadn't seen her since I was 7 years old. I don't do stuff like that. I felt quickened in my spirit to go pray for her when she was having health problems later in life. I never told the family. I got the address from my grandma, showed up unannounced, and went in and prayed for her. And left. No money, nothing. Didn't come for that. Went straight on a plane. And that was that billionaire's mother-in-law. And when he found out I did that, he said, one day I'm gonna bless that kid. Went and prayed for my mother-in-law. Never said anything about it. Yeah, do the ministry. I need a crate of organic orange juice and lukewarm room temperature water and a hotel suite. And I need my travel reimbursed. And we suggest between $5,000 and $10,000 a night. And if you can do that, yeah, you are a freaking loser. That's a theological term. It's a Greek word. The Greek word is frikomos, luzeros. Yeah, you're a professional speaker. You are not a minister. Because that's not ministry. Heal the broken. Jesus said, if you only bless people who can pay you back, you're no different than the heathen. But if you deliberately bless people and minister to people who you know can't pay you back, your Father in heaven will reward you. I see a great reward coming upon your life. Young people, young mothers and fathers, you're going to enjoy the blessing of God. People need help. People need help. They don't need just a speech. They need help. The reason you preach first is faith comes by and hearing by. So it sets the stage to receive. But preaching's not an end to itself. You're not going to read Jesus close in prayer and pray for traveling mercies as we go our separate ways. It's not in the Bible. We're out of time. Why are we out of time? It's your building. Who's setting the time? We need to clear the parking lot so the second service can go in. Okay. They don't do that in the NFL. People are parked all over the city to get in. Can you say amen? Amen. If you missed the Beatitudes, there was no second showing at 3 p.m. If you weren't there on the day of Pentecost, the wind didn't sweep up and the fire go back up, and then everybody in the second service got it too. You were either there or you weren't there. And I'll tell you another thing. You might have on paper 900 people or whatever, but nobody in your church knows that. Nobody, because no one ever sees more than 140 people at a time. You're doing combined attendance. Just have jam the place out. There's something good about a big meeting. People say, oh, I'm actually not the only one left in California serving the Lord. There's thousands of people that have not bowed to Baal or kissed his face. You can make a loud noise. That's coming back to California. California will be a home of signs and wonders in the last days. It's a fact. If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God, do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your God. This is where you get Jehovah Rapha from. It's not I'm God and I heal. Do you believe God heals? When someone asks that question, he didn't say I'm God and I heal. His name is healing. I am the Lord God Almighty who healeth you. It says thee, you're thee. He heals me. He's my healer. He's a mighty healer. Hallelujah. I was watching a guy named Pastor Enoch Adeboye. He took a denomination from Nigeria that had 37 churches. It now has over 19,000 churches. They just built a building that's 3 miles wide by 3 miles long to house the crowd that comes to their convention. He was telling the testimony casually. He's in his 80s now. When he was in his 70s, a pastor called because he was preaching in London. There's a ton of Nigerians in London. He was preaching there at their Nigerian churches. And they said, one of the pastor's wives is in hospice. Hospice, they're just making you comfortable to die. Can you go pray for her? And he was telling the crowd in Nigeria. I was watching on live stream. He said, London is not like Nigeria. He said, you're only allowed to go pray for the person they send you to or they'll throw you out. He said, so I went into hospice. I went straight over to the pastor's wife, prayed a simple prayer, and left. And he said, they contacted me 4 days later that the woman was discharged from hospice, completely cancer-free. And the 31 other people in hospice were all discharged, completely healed, just from him walking in and walking by. I'm telling you that. That's what we have. That's the power we carry. That's the Holy Ghost and fire. That's what's coming into you tonight. You know, the Bible says in the book of Acts, Paul's preaching became, Luke who wrote Acts made a note, Paul's preaching became more powerful the more he preached. So there is something in the Bible, a concept, skillful through much use. The more you operate, just like anything else. Whoever's been working the same job for 20 years, you're much better at it now than you were when you started. You start driving when you're 15 or 16, you have 10 and 2, leaned up over the steering wheel, and then at this point, you got a In-N-Out cup of Coke between your legs and a burger in one hand, steering with one knee, talking on the phone. Skillful through much use. And I don't know, I don't know, we'll know when we get to heaven. But I hit some kind of vein in about September, October last year where the kind of things we would see once every 2 years or something like that just started to break forth without effort. Like Pastor Adeboye walking in and walking out and people getting healed. So this lady asks if she can testify. She found me on YouTube. She was going to die. If you listen to the testimony, she's down to 97 pounds, and her central nervous system was completely shut down. She had to be carried. Think of this now. 97 pounds, bedridden, had to be carried to the toilet, carried to the bathtub, under 24-hour home care, eaten to the bone, and her central nervous system doesn't work. So you're talking about a breathing corpse. She's gone. And she said she was actually trying to watch something else on YouTube and saw Miracle Service. My thing popped up, and she hit it, and she listened to it. And then she put it on autoplay to listen to everything. And the word started to get inside of her. Faith. Faith is not, you know, I'm believing, I'm trying to have faith. That's not faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we have the same spirit of faith. The psalmist had who said, I believe God and so I speak. Faith is a spirit. It's what gets on Elijah to say, bring the prophets of Baal. It envelops you where there's nothing in your mind about what if this doesn't work or it doesn't work. It gives you the capacity to lay hold of the promises of God. And that spirit's transferable. It's transferable by preaching. It's transferable by the laying on of hands. And it's transferable by close association. That's why I'm not listening to some cool pastor from New York or Miami or L.A. that looks cool. I'm listening to 80-year-old men that get hospices cleared out. I want what they carry. Comes from association. So that's why I'm going to see Pastor Rodney on Saturday after I finish preaching. I want to be where the action's at. And when he finishes preaching, we don't go to the hotel lobby bar and drink ourselves blackout drunk. Pray, fast, preach, work, do. Night cometh when no man can work. Talking about serious ministry. The problem, let me tell you something. The problem in California, and California doesn't have a lot of problems, whether you know it or not. This is a great place. I've been here 3 days, and I'm an expert. I'm telling you, it's great people. Awesome churches, awesome pastors, awesome ministers here. The problem is not the Democrats. The problem is not the LGBT community. A nation rises and falls with the church. And this cool, what are you going to do in an 80-minute service? Herd them in, separate them from their offering, preach a little message, apologize for the message with your first words out of your mouth. Sorry, guys, I know video announcements ran a little long. I'm not going to be long. Just have like a short message. Yeah. Why are you winded? It's 2 minutes into your message. Do you smoke? Just going to make a couple comments real quick, guys. They'll head you on your way. I know people are busy. Actually, people aren't all busy. How many of you drove 3 hours or more to be here tonight? Two and a half or more. Two or more, put them up. Okay, so they're, people are actually hungry. People actually, stop gearing your church for people who don't want to be there. There's 200 churches they can go to. Gear your church for people that are hungry and thirsty for the word and the power of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
What was I saying before I got all wound up? Oh, yeah, 97.1. So she hears, and faith starts coming in her, and then she comes to hear, has her caretaker makes her drive her down from Buffalo, New York to Pittsburgh to go to church. Play the video. I want you to see this. This happened. This not happened. This not from the 1920s. This not from Azusa Street. This happened last year. And I played the one last night where the doctors, not she's pulling herself off her ventilator by faith. That, you know, you don't need a ventilator. If it's okay with you, we'll take it back. You have perfect muscle strength, and a lady that can't walk's wearing high heels while her husband stands behind her on the platform crying his eyes out. And when I looked over at him and said, are you okay? He pointed down at his wife's feet. I've never seen her take steps in five years. Just wiping his eyes. Big, strong Florida guy. The power of God, man. That's what got me drunk on this thing in the first place. Watching that when I was a kid. I love that stuff. My Uncle Ted was preaching under a tent. And there was a guy, he didn't know it, but the guy had been in an accident, and they took an inch and a half of the vertebrae from his neck out. So to stabilize his neck, so his spinal cord didn't snap, they placed his head in between his collarbones. So my uncle, can you see him down like this? And my Uncle Ted felt while I was preaching to go minister to him. He said, sir, would you mind if I pray for you? What people don't understand is if a tent evangelist asks for permission to pray for you, they're getting your consent to physically assault you. Just tuck that away. So he nodded his head like this. So my Uncle Ted grabbed him by both sides of the head and picked his head up where it should be, which should have snapped. You know, they told the wife, make sure nothing jars his head or he'll be paralyzed or die. So when he picked the head up, the wife went, and when my Uncle Ted turned his head to ask her what the problem was, he felt the inch and a half of vertebrae grow under his fingers. Now, when you're a faith preacher, you're supposed to act like it's not your first rodeo. But sometimes God does something so mighty that you can't pretend. And my uncle went, whoa. And the wife's crying, and he's crying. But like I've been telling you, when God does a miracle, it's like a rock hitting the pond. The ripples go out. So as he's getting ready to tell the crowd to praise God, the Lord gives him a second instruction. There's a 9-year-old girl sitting behind him, and they've been sitting behind him for an hour and a half. So she's sitting forward on her seat like this, because when you're an adult, they teach you not to stare at people with disabilities. But when you're 9, you stare, you sketch it, you put it on TikTok, hashtag no neck. And so this girl sees the neck grow. So the Lord tells my Uncle Ted what to do. Little girl, would you like to feel what a miracle feels like? And she shook her head. He said, take your finger and touch his neck. My uncle didn't know any of this. Found out later. When she touched his neck, that whatever residue of the glory of God there was shot through her finger into her body, and she threw her head back and started speaking in other tongues. Now, if you're Pentecostal and your 9-year-old girl started yelling out in tongues, you might tell her to shush. Her dad that was sitting next to her, they were the two that came from the family. They were both Muslims. Big bearded Muslim father. And when his daughter threw her head back and started speaking in tongues, not to be mean or anything, but just out of reaction, he grabbed her arm. Well, the way you stop live wire is not by grabbing it. When he grabbed her arm, his head shot back and he started speaking in tongues. The next night, he was there, she was there, the sons were there, the wife was there, all at the altar receiving Jesus Christ by one miracle. I'm telling you, God only needs one miracle to turn this whole state around. Say it out loud. He's a miracle working God. We don't serve an idol. We don't serve a statue. We serve the living God, who is a consuming fire. You said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? He's a mighty God. Let me tell you something right up front. Anything in your body can be healed. And anything that's too damaged to be healed can be replaced. Just remember that. So I'll let the lady tell the story. And I'm playing this for you to show you what God can do. And you're like, well, we don't know why God does it. No. You know why it happened to her? Because she reached out with her faith. And again, I'm not trying to be crude. But she could have listened to me and pressed miracle service and heard me talking about how God's a healer and said, blank this guy and his blinking message. If God's such a good healer, why am I? No, but she didn't do that. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. There is hope. There's no closed case with God. There's no closed case with God. Amen. Man, I'm telling you, even as I'm, this stuff's rising up in me. Like, I forgot about this. One time I was in Houston, Texas, specifically Cypress, Texas, just outside of Houston. And this lady came up to me at the end of the service with her little son. I think he was 9. And you could tell he had been a premature baby. So she told me, when he was born, he was the lowest weight baby that ever survived from you know, a big city, not like some little town, from the Houston, Texas NICU. He'll have developmental problems. So he gets Fs in all his classes. And she's, the mom crying her eyes out. Do you think maybe you could pray for him? I said, I'm not trying to get you to come back tomorrow night, but will you be here tomorrow night? Yeah, okay. I'm going to come ready for your son. So I skipped all my meals that day, which I hate doing. I like to eat. I like living. I like breathing. I really enjoy all that. It's one of my favorite things to do, is to breathe. So I skipped for him. I mean, the kid needs like a miracle, but I'm going to give it a shot. If I can't help you, I can't help you, but I'm going to give it all I got. And I was preaching that night, and when I felt it come on me, I said, give me that kid at 9 years old. I'm not even strong enough. I picked him up, and I carried him and preached to get him close to my body and preached. And then when I felt good about it, I held him. I said, in the name of Jesus, I speak to your central nervous system. I command your mind to be bright. I command whatever malformed in your body to form right. You foul devil. There won't be any miscarriages in heaven. There weren't any in the Garden of Eden. There was no NICU in the Garden of Eden. It's the devil. He's a wicked devil. And he deserves the full force of power against his wicked behind. He deserves to be assaulted heavily. Heavily. There has to be a violence in your faith, or you're not going to get much done. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Oh, Lord, you see this boy's promise. That's not going to get it done. There's a certain... When Zion travailed, she brought forth her son. There is a certain pressure that has to be pushed in prayer. Where's my Mexicans at in here? So I don't have to tell you. I'm not trying to make sweeping generalizations, but... I don't know what the Catholic Church did in Mexico to instill that passion. I mean, Roman Catholic churches, there is something in the Mexican people with a passion, the worship they write, the pleading to God at the altar. There is something in that is wonderful. You don't pray, Lord, if it be thy will. You get nothing. What does a woman do that presses through a crowd, dives through the crowd, and grabs Jesus' robe? That's not in his time. When he's ready, I mean, no, we go through seasons. No! I am going to touch the hem of his garment, for I know when I touch him, I will be made whole. Daughter, be encouraged. Your faith, not my will, your faith has made you well. Getting in your body right now. That's why I'm preaching before I'm praying. It's getting in your body right now. Good luck to that cancer surviving the next 40 minutes. I'm going to tell you right now. Those cells are clearing out of your body. You're going to dance with your husband again. You're going to eat at restaurants and hold the food down again. You're too valuable to die. You too. Enough's enough. And I'm telling all my pastor friends watching online, whatever state you're in, any pastors that are here, well, he preaches like that because I'm an evangelist. Oh, yeah, watch me Sunday morning at my own church. I only have one gear. You have me do a wedding, and I feel any kind of resistance when I read the scriptures, I start trying to get a breakthrough. True. Play the testimony. Look what Jesus did. Buddha can't do this.
In January, I found myself completely crippled. I was confined to a bed. My central nervous system was completely destroyed by years of harmful medications. I had lost feeling in my face. I had lost feeling to control anything in my body. I convulsed for months at a time. It got to the point where it was too strenuous for three people to take me to the bathroom. At 33, I was in adult diapers. I was completely hopeless. I was unable to sleep, couldn't feed myself. I couldn't read. One day I was on YouTube. It said miracle service, just a picture, and it had Pastor Jonathan. I became borderline obsessive with Revival Today. I downloaded each app. I would turn on the 24-hour broadcast and just stick it under my pillow at night. And I would have Pastor Jonathan screaming in my ear all night. In the month of January, I slept only 10 hours. And so I should have had so many seizures that I would have died. That's what the doctor said. But I had Pastor Jonathan screaming in my ear. And so I became completely immersed. The word of God is living and active, and it was active, working in me. I didn't feel anything. I didn't see anything. The Bible doesn't lie. And Pastor Jonathan will say, when you quote God, you're never wrong. I continued to speak the word of God, and I also learned how to pray. I don't know if any of you guys do afternoon prayer, but it is vital. I learned how to speak to the mountain, to speak to the circumstances. And at that point, I couldn't read. All I could do was listen. Finally, I started seeing some change. I decided, you know what? I'm not doing this wheelchair anymore. And so I instead had a walker, and I would use the walker, and still very much struggled. And I would beg people to take me to Revival Today. I said, if I could just go, if I could just get into the tangible presence of God, if I could just go. I finally convinced one of my caretakers to take me here in September. When we pulled in, there wasn't a parking lot here. And so we pull in and it's all rocky, and I'm thinking, how am I gonna roll this stupid thing over here? So I tell my person, I said, just park here, get into the back. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's a long walk. But I felt the presence of God. I walked in, and just looking, I felt the Holy Ghost just like a wall. It hit me, and I just began to just tears. And it was like I just felt the Holy Ghost, like putting my faith in action. And I knew that the Lord was meeting me where I was at. Afterwards, Evangelist Kofi laid hands on me, and he prayed that God would expedite the healing work that had already become. So that was the first week in September. So here I am today, and that was the last day that I used a walker. The last day I used a walker. And I drove myself here. God made a way where there seemed to be no way. I drove myself. I carried luggage to the second floor of a hotel. I took the stairs just because I could take the stairs. And I walked here, and I parked really far away too.
Just like the Bible says. Amen. That lady was a goner. Short of raising an actual corpse from the dead, that's about as close to a corpse as you can get. You saw the picture, drawn in face. That lady's dead. Now she's alive, wearing high heels, carrying her luggage up two flights of stairs. By resurrection life. I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believes on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. There's nothing the devil's done to you that God can't do something about it now. God created the whole world in 6 days. He'll never need more than a day to sort out a regular person. He's a mighty God. Red Sea parter. Manna feeder. Dry out the ground. One angel killed 185,000 Amalekites in one night. That wasn't even God. That was one angel. That's who we got. Good luck. Good luck to your sickness. You're going to get slapped in the mouth tonight. It's clearing out right now by the preacher. It's getting in your bones. It's getting in your blood. It's getting in your eyes. It'll clear macular degeneration out, glaucoma, pressure behind the eyes. It'll give you a new pancreas that regulates blood sugar. It'll make your old body a young body. It'll make your old legs young legs. It'll make your damaged heart a new heart. It'll take scar tissue off your heart. It'll give you two brand new lungs. It's the living, active Word of God, and it's working mightily in you. Oh, yeah, the kid was the one I was talking about. So I gave him back to his mother. She was crying. And then I got a Twitter message. Let's just see if it's still on there or not. She sent me a message on Twitter the week later of him standing next to his teacher with a big smile with an A-plus on his test. Never had gotten a B. A-plus. Central nervous system. Central nervous system. No matter how it manifests. In fact, let me show you something. Matthew chapter 8. Watch this. Matthew 8, verse 1. Large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. Lord, the man said, if you're willing, you can heal me and make me clean. What did the guy have? Leprosy. Was leprosy spreadable? Yeah. How would Jesus have dealt with a disease like COVID? Read your Bible. This disease, think of this. This disease was so foul and so spreadable and such a danger to the community that they built colonies for people that had that. And there's enough Bible people that'll know this. If a leper left that colony and appeared before the general public, like this guy did, what was the penalty? $1,000 fine? What? What kind of death? Stoned until dead. And what did Jesus say? I'd love to pray for you, but right now, till we get a handle on this. That's why those churches that bowed to those COVID regulations are all empty now, because they ticked Jesus off. You're to heal the sick. I said you're to heal the sick. Who temperature checks on people. Heal the sick. Just ask you if you're running a fever to just stay home till we get a handle. Get another job. Go work for the health department. You're not a preacher. You're a loser. And I have people write me, you know, you're very harsh. I mean every word I'm saying, and if you think I'm harsh, wait till you stand before the Lord. You were called to put an end to pandemics, not to wait till they end. But God's raising up a new generation of believers that are going to put sickness and disease under their feet. If you're willing, you can heal me and make me clean. He knew God could. Please don't miss this, because this will help you. This is where most people are at. You could talk to people on the street that have never been to church. Do you believe there's a God? Yes. 94% of Americans still believe there's a God. Do you believe there's a God? Yes. Do you believe he can heal? Yes. Do you believe he has all power? Yes. Do you believe he'll heal you? Well, that's where they miss it, just like this guy. Obviously, he's not risking getting stoned to death because he doesn't think Jesus can do it. I know if you want to. I know if you were willing, you could heal me and make me clean. Before Jesus healed him, he corrected him. I am willing. I want to. And when Jesus answered that leper, he answered anybody that has ever had that question. Because the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. God is willing. And if you're willing, that's a good combination. Can't you say amen? Let me tell you another story from my time in ministry. I had a pretty great meeting in Montreal, Quebec. It went 2 weeks, and a lady came on the last night and got healed. And she called me on Saturday through the pastor and said, if you haven't left yet, could you drive to the hospital and pray for my niece? She has stage 2 brain cancer. I said, I'd be happy to. So I drove, 38 minutes, whatever, from Montreal to Montreal to the hospital and went in. And that day changed my life. I think I was about, 27, 28 years old. So I'd never been in a pediatric cancer center before. When I walked through that lobby of parents, because I went to a full gospel Bible college where they debated whether healing's the will of God, whether sickness is of the devil. When I walk, so maybe sometimes God uses sickness for his glory. When I walked through that lobby and saw the look on those parents' faces, not one smile in the whole lobby, people with the weight of the world on them, waiting for tests to come back. Did the treatment work? How much did it work? Is my child going to live or die? When I saw the expression on those faces, you see me now. This is how I am right now. That's when I became like that. I thought, okay, if somebody tells me that this is from God, I'm not going to debate them theologically. I'm going to kick them. I'm going to settle my differences with them the same way Jean-Claude Van Damme settled all his problems. Kicking. I believe sometimes God uses kick. Because you don't get it. You think that's of God? You think that's life and more abundantly? Child with their face swollen from treatments and cancer, and then two parents dealing with that plus the finances. I think that day I got my calling into the ministry. Like my real, okay, this is what I'm to, this is what I'm to take and alleviate off of people by the power of God. Spend the rest of my life turning these frowns upside down, like Jesus did. Oral Roberts said out of Luke chapter 4, a minister's task is to remove pain by the anointing. Basically, if you want to sum up Jesus' ministry, that's what he did. He took pain away. Widow that lost her only son took the pain, removed the pain by a miracle. What you're going to see him do with the leper, if I ever finish the text. Blind people, deaf people. And there was great joy in the city. And the people exclaimed. And the woman, oh, how she praised God. He took people that were beaten down. And when he was done, they were dancing. And then what did he tell the disciples? The same work you saw me do, don't you try it, because I'm the Son of God. And when I leave, show's over. Nope. The same work you saw me do, you're to do. And greater. For I go to the Father on your behalf. Yes, ask anything in my name that you want to, and I will give it you. Not I might. I will give it you, that your joy may be full. Say out loud, ask, and you shall receive. So, if that's all you have to do is ask, and let me add something to it. Let him that asks, ask in faith, doubting nothing. For a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man expect to receive anything from God. That's why Jesus had to correct the guy. The devil doesn't have to get you to confess Satan as your Savior. All he has to do is seed enough doubt that you're double-minded. I'd like to be healed, but then at the same time we have to remember. And there's actually people that will seed that from a pulpit in a church. You know, we all want things now, but we have to remember it's in his time, and he doesn't always answer the way that we ask. You are in trouble. I'm telling you, I'm not saying this to be mean or harsh. You are in trouble. You will answer to God for peddling doubt instead of faith. This country did not get shaken by people that preach like that. A.A. Allen, Oral Roberts, they didn't get up and say, "Now, you know, there's seasons of sickness." No. Oral Roberts, something good is going to happen to you. A.A. Allen, God's got a miracle for you. God's going to do wonders under this tent tonight. He's a tuberculosis healer. That is the message of faith. It's the only message that works. Come on, I don't hear anybody in this sanctuary. It's the only message that works. Can you say amen? Power. Pentecost. What do you have? One. We have Pentecost Sunday now. We used to have 52 of them. And all Pentecost Sunday is at most churches is an apology for things you might see here today. Just so you know, this is a Pentecostal church, and this Sunday we celebrate that, and you may see some things. No, and you aren't going to see anything you don't understand. I went to go preach at a Southern Baptist church that invited me in to preach, and I had a guy from a full gospel denomination said, "What was it like preaching at a Baptist church?" I said, "Exactly the same as preaching at your denomination. You didn't hear any tongues? You didn't hear any tongues there? You don't hear any tongues there? Where's the tongues? How come there's no tongues?" Now, I'm not saying every Sunday morning has to be a tongues fest, but you also, if you have a year of Sundays go by and you don't hear one tongue, you don't have a church, because you read the book of Acts, there was an abundance of tongues. In the Old Testament, there was an abundance of prophecy that was distinctive of that dispensation. In this dispensation, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Church is not a TED Talk with a cross behind you. Tonight I'm going to preach on the power of saying no. How many of you know sometimes our schedules are out of control because we haven't learned how to say no? We need to learn to prioritize our time. Everything you just said is true. None of it has anything in the universe of the Bible to do with anything. I could have learned that from a library book in the pop psychology section. That is not anything to do with Christ, His blood, His covenant, resurrection life, the Holy Ghost. You are wasting people's time. And deep down, you know it. That's why you have to get up and apologize for your message. Not going to be long today. Yeah, because you deep down know. That's not what God... Now, listen to me now. I'm saying this because I'm not trying to insult... I am trying to insult people. But I'm doing it for a reason. To prick you. That's not why you got into the... I want every pastor and evangelist that's here right now. Think about the night that you decided to go into the ministry. What hit you? What were you seeing as you cried out to God? Thousands of young people coming to the altar and calling on Jesus. You didn't come to the altar and say, Lord, I want to give the rest of my life to teaching people how to organize their schedules. No. You went into the ministry with a passion to heal the sick and cast out devils, raise the dead, open the eyes of the blind. And somewhere some Pharisee or Sadducee got in your ear and in your spirit, and they turned you into another son of hell that peddles unbelief. But God sent me here today to light that fire back in you. God put you in the ministry to be a mighty man of God. So do it. Do the work. Who told you you can't do it? Who told you that it doesn't work in California? What do they know? That doesn't really work today. What book of the Bible did you write? Amazing how God didn't care about any of your thoughts when he penned his book. What do you know? Got people with a church of 200 people telling people what works. It's not working. Where's the multitudes? You don't measure success by numbers. No, actually you do. How many times does the book of Acts list the multitudes by number that came to hear the word of God? God's a God of numbers. He's a God of, I just heard some guy, you know, I don't even know what to do. I don't even know, it's not even like a theological thing. Like, I don't know if people's brains work right or if there's so much marijuana in the air ever since it got legalized that it's messing people up. You know, a guy just did a reel. He's my age. God has a plan for small churches. Then the next line out of his mouth. Now, God does expect everything to increase. Which will then make it what? There's nothing wrong with starting small. Everything does have to have a beginning place. But how can you stay small if you're consistently winning the lost and discipling people? It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not math. It's not a theological thing. It's an addition. It's not even advanced math. It's not even multiplication. It's understanding the concept of addition. If you won 10 new people to the Lord and were only able to disciple 5 and kept them in your church per week, 5. One person should be the pastor. You know, you hear pastors. Our people don't witness. You witness. Can you get 5 people to come to your own church? I've been doing it. My server from the steakhouse I ate at on Saturday night was in church Sunday morning. And he never told me he was coming. Must have looked me up off of the receipt. I got the mic and he leaned forward into the light from the second tier and went like this. I'm sure the $350 tip didn't hurt. But why not? Advertising expense. Why not bless somebody? You want to know what else happened that night? My 10-year-old daughter was sitting next to me. This is before he, you know, obviously before he came to church. I just met him. I'd had him as a server earlier in the week. My daughter was with me then too. My daughter's sitting with me. My dad's with me. Pastor Bob Rogers is with me. We'll never say anything about being a pastor or church or anything. The day before, the Lord spoke to me. You know how you pay your daughter's tuition for Christian school? I want you to start paying other people's tuition that want to put their kids in Christian school. So I hadn't even told my wife, but I had that tucked away in my heart for 24 hours. So the server starts talking to Camila, because Camila is a people magnet. How old are you? Camila goes, I'm 10. And the guy goes, my daughter's 10. Where do you go to school? Camila goes, I go to Eden Christian Academy. He goes, that's where I'd like to send my daughter next year. I said, you would? Yeah. I said, I'm going to leave my name and number on the receipt. And when we finish the meal, it's almost summertime. When you want to send her next year, I'll pay the entire tuition. He just went like this and then left. And then he came back 90 seconds later and went, hey, did you just say you'd pay my daughter's tuition for Christian school? I said, I did. You don't have to do that. I said, I know I don't have to do it. You never asked me to. I said, you want to know the truth about it? You know, sometimes I just think, if someone's going to think you're nuts or whatever, why not just say something and freak somebody out? I said, yesterday I was laying on top of my bed in the afternoon, and I felt the Lord speak to me that the same way I pay for my daughter's tuition at Eden Christian Academy, that I should start paying for other people's. So I made up my mind, I'm going to do 10 people for next year. I hadn't even told my wife yet. And then you said this. I took that as confirmation. So why don't you be number one, and then I'm going to do 9 more. I said, who knows? Maybe our 2 daughters will end up as lifelong best friends. And that's what the Lord's doing. So he went, all right. So then he said, you said you guys are pastors? I said, yeah. I said, but I want to tell you something. I never told you I was a pastor before I told you I'd pay for the tuition. I didn't bring it up so you'd come to church. I was doing that to be nice. No, but I'd like to check your church out. He said, I just got myself born again a few months ago. I said, all right, that's good. And if he says the word born again, I know he actually got born again, because nobody talks like that unless they're born again. You can say, if he was scamming me for a big tip, he'd have said, I started becoming more spiritual myself. And I said, I got you. So I said, you don't have to come to church. I said, if I never see you again, everything I offered you stands, because I actually need to get 9 more people to do it as well. And they went, all right. I left him a tip because he's a super nice guy anyway. And I forgot all about it. Then I got the mic to go introduce my father. And he's in row 2. There's one. There's a few other people that are there too that I brought. You bring them. Since when is the work of the ministry sitting in an office and bumping around on a computer? Come on. Amen. Listening to podcasts. Go out where people are. Pray for people. How hard is it to round up one person a day? So anyway, to do the math, if you get 10 a week, your whole church, you only are able to keep 5, and you average that 10. Let's say you only are able to do that 2 weeks out of the month. That's 10 people. Lose 10, gain 10. Times 12 is 120 people. So that's 120 new people. And you do that for a few years, and then you should be able to up the ratio after a little bit. Tell me how there can be a small church unless you're not actively going after the lost. Lord, send them in. That's not what he said. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Chloe, pull up the Pittsburgh Fest in the stadium. I want to show you. I'm not blowing smoke. I'm a pastor too. I don't just yell at people in other states. I yell at people in their home state as well. And you understand the reason I'm preaching like this is because, yes, I believe in California. I believe in America. I believe God's not finished with California or America. But we have a little window here. Amen. Or this place is going to turn, when I say this place, I don't mean California. I mean America. It's going to turn into Ireland. A country that sent the gospel all over the world and today has less than 2% Christians. With all the churches empty. 1,200 seat churches with 9 people in them. And these churches are going to go up for sale all over this country, and there's not going to be any pastors to put in them, and they're going to turn into a church vape shop. Church brew works, because the devil always makes sure some place like that buys it to stick it in your face. But it'll be a cold day in hell with the devil singing the Frosty the Snowman before that happens. Even out of this meeting, God is going to raise up dozens of ministers that carry the fire of God to their generation in Jesus' mighty name. I said in Jesus' name. Go ahead. Take 60 seconds. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God. Come on. Give God the highest praise. For he's worthy. He's worthy! shout hallelujah. That kind of ministry doesn't really work in California. They're more laid back. What state am I in again? So it at least works with some Californians. You would at least have to change it to most Californians. But I could disprove that too. The gospel works everywhere. Forget California. I've preached in Northern Europe and had to hear the same speech there. You know, us in Europe, we're very unemotional. Oh, yeah? Were those people from other nations that were at your soccer game on Saturday? With no shirts on in 30-degree weather? Drunk as skunks? Europeans are very reserved. Oh, yeah? I just saw two guys punch a woman in the face at a soccer game who had the wrong color jersey on. You're lying. Had to hear it when I'd go preach in Montreal, Quebec. The Canadians are more reserved. Oh, yeah? Were those people from other nations that were at the Montreal Canadiens game with their shirts off, painted red, blue, and white, banging on the glass? Yelling for their player to beat the blank out of the other player at the top of their lungs. Amazing how if people don't worship God in church, they go find a place to go worship somewhere else. People are people. People are people in Finland. People are people in Russia. They're humans. Everybody's a human. They're created to respond to God. Can you say amen? Amen. Can you say a better amen?
Amen.
California, what do you, Californians evolve differently? Californians are different. No, they're not. They're people created in the image of God that need a Savior and long, whether they know it or not, for the power of the Holy Ghost. First of all, for somebody even to say something that dumb, you don't even understand demographics. Californians, like it's 1920 and it's all white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Californians. California, Fiji, China, black, white, Mexican, Puerto Rican, you have all... Who's not here? If you lived here, why would you even take a mission trip? They're all here. We need to reach the world. Throw a rock. The world's here. In fact, whatever the devil is trying to do with illegal immigration, it'll actually end up backfiring on them because you have people here from all over the world who can't hear the gospel in their country, but they're going to get saved in California. They're going to start churches in California. They're going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire in California. Everybody say, win the lost. Heal the sick. Cast out devils. Now, here's Pittsburgh last summer. This cost a lot of money. But this is how we broke 1,000 people. And are up around 1,000 now and keeping them. Go after the lost. Heavy. Do you know the owner? I'm recorded, so I got to be like general. The LGBTQIA+. I love how they just slapped a plus on the other. It's like even they're like, we give up, okay? We've given you all the letters. We gave you refracted light. What else do you want? You have all the colors. You have all the letters. What do you want? So there are people from the community, the LGBTQIA+ community, that protested us using that stadium. And the people in charge felt to back us at possible great cost to them. There were threats they received. I wish I could tell you the specifics. And they're not members of the church or anything. They're welcome to be if they're watching. No, we want this message going out to the city. You guys have your month. Let them preach. It's amazing who backs you. It's amazing in life who should help you and doesn't, and who has no reason to and does. Amen? Watch what Jesus did on these three nights. This is a church that's 7 months old. We don't have that kind of money, and you never will with that mouth. You'd be amazed if you start going after the lost and making big plans, how money will start flowing in from everywhere because God's actually behind it. Amen. Amen. God's not at the mercy of Christian donors. God has all his own silver and he has all his own gold, and he's going to pump it to you as you go after the lost in Jesus' name. Go ahead and roll it.
Steel City Fest was one for the books. For the first time in Revival Today history, we did a stadium crusade in our hometown of Pittsburgh. With minor opposition online causing our social media ads to get rejected, the people of Pittsburgh knew there was something different about this event. The shares began to grow and the word began to spread about Steel City Fest.
On the first night,
hours before the event, lines began to form around the stadium.
This is America in the Northeast in a blue city.
In anticipation.
It's very liberal where we live. It's liberal there. You have value. The devil has a plan to destroy this nation. The devil wants to destroy people in the inner cities. Isn't it interesting when you hear them talk about supply chain shortages? There's no shortage of fentanyl, is there? No. They're rolling drugs into the inner city as easy as they did before COVID because it's a plan to kill you. But God's not looking to kill you. God's looking to destroy the one that was sent to destroy you, pick you up out of the pit, and set your feet on the rock to stay. This is the altar call to receive Jesus Christ and repent.
Son, that whosoever means me, whosoever means you, whoever decides to believe in him, they shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Totally unchurched, unsaved people. Holy Ghost.
I've came a long way. God has truly, truly came into my life. I wanted to move forward, and I've been procrastinating on trying to, you know, walk with the Lord or whatever. And, you know, so finally I said, you know what, I'm going to let go. I'm coming from addiction, and God has truly delivered me. He has truly delivered me, brought me on my way. And when they say that, when he says, what's the song, Amazing Grace, like a wretch like me, God has saved me, and I'm just so happy.
The second night, people came hungry for the word to be preached. We were in revival.
I see the windows of heaven coming open over you tonight. I see God washing away every foul thing the devil's trying to do for your family, generation after generation of struggle and hurt. I see Jesus standing on this field, knocking the devil clean out of your life and bringing you into heaven's destiny. I'm not trying to get you signed up for a political group. I'm trying to get you to put your hand in the nail-scarred hand of Jesus and find out there's no problem that he can't eradicate if you call on his name.
I haven't choked or coughed or gagged, and really I can't breathe when I first
She's my age.
Mind you, I was smoking weed and smoking cigarettes, taking Suboxone. Woke up, they didn't feel the urge to use, so I didn't. I was like, I don't need it. I came for the fun. Yeah. And after that message, I was like, I feel like I need to bring my family back. So I came back, and we won a bike also, and I still don't have the urge.
The final night of Steel City Fest was a night of breakthroughs and turnarounds.
When you go to bed one night a slave,
I don't know who that is.
And you wake up the next morning carrying all their gold and silver, headed to your own home in Canaan. That's called supernatural breakthrough and turnaround. Man can't do that. Politicians don't have the power to do that. I don't care what election year they come through and make you a bunch of promises. They can't do it. Man does not have the capacity to lift mankind out of trouble. But Jesus, the Son of God, made flesh. He came to destroy the power of the devil and set people free. I came to tell you, when you call on him tonight, he will answer you in the mighty name of Jesus. I see the help of heaven coming to you and your family tonight. Your children aren't meant for destruction. Your children aren't meant to have to go and try to sell drugs to get food. No, this is your hour to come out of Egypt and go into Canaan's fair land.
We saw 6,010 people in attendance, and 1,922 salvations for Jesus Christ. The people of Pittsburgh will never be the same.
Let me throw this in too. I'm saying a bunch of mean stuff. Because I did a bunch of those crusades for other cities, and the pastors were in charge of the follow-up. And a lot of them did a great job. But I'd have them say, we didn't really see any families come out of the crusade to our church. Yeah, because you left them there. So I had a feeling that the problem wasn't evangelism. The problem was you not wanting to spend money on follow-up. So I chartered, I can't remember how many buses, but it cost $54,000. So that people had rides from the city. You know those people got saved? How genuinely they got saved? There were a bunch of people that waited for me out of the private exit of the stadium by my car. And they went, you said you're going to have buses for us, right? I said, yeah. Okay. They're going to be there. It was like a threat. You better have buses to take me to church. I said, they'll be there. So we had people register. Ran however many buses, cost $54,000. That event cost, about $220,000? Then $54,000 for the buses? So you think that's going to be a money loser. You think if you want money for your ministry, call a partners meeting, right? And preach to your partners about giving and have them give. So that Sunday, we take the offering. A guy that's a year younger than me walks up and hands me a check for $200,000. And then another person came and gave me a check for $200,000. That's $400,000. And then the offering online and live, I think we had just under $500,000 come in the Sunday offering. Yeah, you almost start getting the feeling like Jesus is interested in that. And he got tired of watching people make small little plans. Did you know? And I'm not bragging. I'm telling you, the stuff I'm telling you actually works in practice. You know, they tell you if you get 10% of your church to volunteer, that's like exceptional. So we have 700 people average attendance, I'd say. So if we had 70 volunteers, that would be amazing. You know how many we have? We have going on 400 volunteers. A year and 4 months old. Do you know why? If you have a vision, you have to have a vision that inspires people to get involved. Nobody's interested in going out and speaking to four disgruntled people with a crackly speaker and a wired microphone. If the gay pride groups can rent out stuff for the entire month of June with top-notch sound system, what are we? We're the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be the best. We should have the best. We should show forth the best. I know if you want to, you can make me well. Jesus said to him, I want to. I am willing. Be healed. And instantly, how long?
Instantly.
You know, in our generation, we want everything from God now. But God is a God of process. What scripture is that? What scripture is that? Stop. No, if you don't want to get people healed and you don't want to have miracles, that's your choice. But don't start dulling people's expectations. Come on. You're wrong. He's very harsh. Wait till judgment day. True, I have said some mean things, but I didn't have a two-edged sword come out of my mouth. Then Jesus said to him, don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you've been cleansed. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him. Look at people just coming out of the woodwork that need healed. It's like that now. I never planned to pray for those people in Pittsburgh. They want... My child has leukemia. Will you pray for them? Finish praying. Three more people lined up. Pray for them. Then there's like 40. Okay, all right. Everybody wants prayer. Line up across the entire soccer field and go and pray for everybody. People going out under the power that have never been to church. Why did I fall over? You tell me. It's the same today. Let me ask you a question. I'm not targeting anyone here. I'm not targeting anyone online. I obviously can't see you. You can see me, but I can't see you. What if you did a four-week series instead of on time management or the power of saying no or What if you did a 4-week series on the gifts of the Spirit? On how to see answers to your prayers supernaturally. There's a church at a red light on a road I used to drive by in Pittsburgh, and they had the title of this Sunday's sermon up. It was a Presbyterian church. It said, 7 Reasons Prayers Don't Get Answered. And I thought to myself, think how much more powerful that Sunday would be if you changed it to 7 Ways to See Answers to Prayer. Why condition people to not receive anything? Did Jesus do that? Hey, everyone, take it easy. I know you've all come to be healed, but you know, you guys want things now. I'm more about heaven. You people seem to all want a blessing now, but you're not interested in heaven. No. Jesus never told a crippled man, though you can't walk. Hey, buddy, though you can't walk here in Israel, how many know one day those feet will dance on streets of gold? Did Jesus ever tell anybody that? Did Jesus ever tell a blind man, I know you can't see anything here, but one day you'll see things too marvelous to tell? No. In fact, let me take it a step further. John chapter 11. Lazarus' sister is ticked off, trying to hide it, because Jesus was a short journey and could have healed him before he died. You know, and you can basically feel the implication of what she's saying. You run around here healing all these strangers. You couldn't have made a little journey over and healed my brother before he died? Now he's gone. And what happened? Jesus spoke to her and she said, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. Your brother will rise again. Yes, Lord, one day in the resurrection. So the way to never receive anything from God is to complain about what could have happened. You know, we were poor growing up, and so my mother couldn't afford medication. If she'd have got me this medication, I wouldn't have had what I have right now. Yes, that's true. But you can't go back in time and fix that. If I'd have had better parents, true. If you had been here, religion always wants you to either look backwards or forwards. Yes, Lord, he'll rise again. On that great day of the resurrection, Jesus said to her, John 11:25, I am the resurrection. I am the life. They that believe in me, though they were dead, yet shall they live now. Roll the stone away. You can't have faith for the future. You can't have faith for the past. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and the conviction of their reality. Whatever went wrong before today, whatever you were hoping for in the future, don't put it off one more day. I'd make up my mind right now. I'm getting everything that God said belongs to me. Come on, if that sounds like you, let the Lord hear your anointed hand clap and shout. Somebody shout amen like thunder. In fact, lift your hands where you're at right now. Let's give the Holy Ghost 30 seconds just to sweep through the room. People are getting their blood cleared out right now. People are getting their central nervous system healed right now. Every unnatural growth is being destroyed now by the power of the Holy Ghost. I loose the blood of Jesus, that crimson stream from Calvary, to flow over every person right now. Father, to confirm your word, let every sickness and disease be destroyed in every body that's represented. May they never battle sickness again. In el nombre de Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for this lady in the gray shirt right here. Step right out into the aisle. I was going to pray at the end, but you beat me to the punch. Lift both hands. You don't have to come any closer. Lift both hands, close both eyes. As you do, the power of God comes upon you. In Jesus' name. Go right through you. More. That's it. In Jesus' mighty name. In the name of Jesus. Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed, and in terrible pain. Everybody say paralyzed. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. But the officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I'm under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go, or come and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he rebuked him. That's called hyperfaith. No. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Amen. He commended people for having strong faith. He said, I tell you the truth. I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast of the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home because you've believed. It has happened. Because why? Because it was my will. No, because you believed. How many people is God willing to be saved? So they're all going to go to heaven, right? Because how many know if God wants something done, it's going to get done no matter what? No. There's going to be a lot of people in hell. Broad is the way that leads to destruction for the many that choose the easy way. But the path that leads to heaven is straight and narrow, and only a few there be that find it. God's already made up his mind about your healing. Then because you believe. That centurion didn't say, if that guy can heal, how come he doesn't come heal my son? He came to him and said, I want you to heal my son. I'll come. You don't even have to come. I've heard about you. Just speak the word where you're at, and I know my servant will be healed. Jesus said, oh, all right. Now we're talking. I haven't seen faith like this before. Go back home because you believe. What are you believing? What do you believe? That's why you got to preach like this, because people, when you've been slapped around your whole life by life, you know, well, I hope that works. I know God can do that, but if you knew, the devil has so magnified your problem that it's hard to believe that there's a God that can pull you out. But I'm telling you, there is a God that's in this room with me. He came here with me. He'll pull you out of the pit, and he'll set your feet on the rock to stay. When Jesus arrived at Peter's home, guy can't catch a break. Peter's mother-in-law was sick, in bed with a high fever. But when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her, and she got up and prepared a meal for him. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command. Today we're going to study deliverance because, yeah, it's not hard. Out. O-U-T. Say it. Full of the Holy Ghost, they leave. Sometimes they get so nervous you can't even get to in the name of Jesus. Then they're already gone. No, I know where this is going. I'm already out. He cast out the demons with a simple command. Amen?
Amen.
And he healed many of the sick. He healed some of the sick. He healed how many of the sick? Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, forever. How many of the sick did he heal? How many of you know sometimes God sends sickness because it's in those times? Where do you find in the Bible Jesus lay his hand on a healthy person and make them sick? That's called bad doctrine. He didn't lay his hand on people who were healthy and make them sick. He laid his hands on the sick and made them well. And then he said, these signs will follow them that believe. They will lay their hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Not follow apostles or evangelists. They'll lay believers, people who believe. They'll lay, how many believers we have here? Yeah. These signs will follow them. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll handle serpents with safety. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They'll cast out devils. They'll lay their hands on the sick. And the sick shall recover. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said he took our sickness and removed our diseases. I have. No, you don't. Stop saying I have and start saying he took. He took your arthritis. He took your macular degeneration. He took your organ trouble. He took your sugar diabetes. He took your HIV/AIDS. He took your sickle cell anemia. He took your leukemia. He took it on the cross. That crucifixion was supposed to take 4 days, but he died in a few hours because on him was laid on him every cancer, every blindness, every torment that the devil meant to lay on me was already laid on Christ Jesus. And because he took it, I don't have to take it anymore. I am free, free at last, and free forever. Somebody shout free.
Free.
We believe that when he took the whip upon his back, it took away spiritual sickness. Well, you're wrong. Did Jesus get whipped on his back before he went to the cross or after he went to the cross? Before. So if he took our sins and shed blood for our sin, by the whipping, there would have been no need to go to the cross. The cross was to break the curse of sin and the curse of the law. But he was tied to a post and his back was beaten raw, not for your sin. But in that atonement, he took all my sicknesses. It is illegal for me to be sick. All my sicknesses he took. All my diseases he carried. He didn't have to do it, but he did. And until you get that, you won't have the proper, you got it now. Until you get that, you don't have the proper resistance to stay free from sick. Well, you know, it's when the temperature changes like this, in California in May, it can be 85 one day, 48 the other day, and I get sick. No, but when you understand that sickness is not a normal part of life. Sickness is of the devil. There was none in the Garden of Eden. There were no children's cancer centers in the Garden of Eden. There won't be any handicapped parking spaces in the New Jerusalem. Sickness is the foul offspring of its father, Satan, and its mother, sin. But for this reason was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy all the work of the devil. I see every sickness and every disease being destroyed now. Go ahead and rejoice. Go ahead and rejoice. As you rejoice, receive what Christ paid for you. Shout it out, I'm healed. In Jesus' name. You think you can preach that too strong? Think of what Jesus went through. You think he's up in heaven going, easy, Jonathan? Or do you think he's going, yeah, yeah, tell him what I did. I did it for them. Tell him. You tell him he likes it. I've been up in heaven for the last year going, give that kid some money. Send him around the world. Put him on TV. Let him shout it out. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. And because he lives, I shall live also. Alive, alive, alive. Roposte kata, rimondo rebaste de indiaraba. I've got life because he lives. Went to the Sturgis motorcycle rally. Same thing. Preached a straight salvation message. People needed prayer. Guy asked me if I can go pray for his biker buddy that's on oxygen. I said, sure. I went to go pray for him. As soon as I got close to him, I knew three things that were wrong with him. And I said, you have COPD, emphysema, and a third thing that they haven't been able to diagnose yet. This guy, this is the first time they've ever been in church. They're bikers at Sturgis. They came to win the free motorcycle. Then they got saved. Then they. It's amazing how if religion doesn't beat it out of you, people have an expectation for God to do big things. Little kids believe for it. I was in Arizona and I was driving with Adonis and Camila, and I said, imagine if God gave us a house in Arizona so we didn't have to keep renting hotels and stuff. And Camila said, why say if? I said, what do you mean? She said, I had just preached the week before, finished Dake's title. If, the language of unbelief. She said, if's the language of unbelief. I said, so then I was testing her. I said, what should I say instead? She said, if I were you, I'd just lift my hands and say, thank you, Father, for a home in Arizona. You know, that's called childlike faith. That's what God's putting back in. The years of adulthood put a callus on your spirit. But tonight the anointing is taking that callus off. I want you to lift your hands where you're at and just begin to thank God. Thank him out of your mouth. Thank you, Lord, that it's already done. Thank you that I have healing from my body. Thank you that I have strength from my knees and my back and my legs and my feet. Yeah, but Jonathan, you don't understand. I did this to myself. I used to smoke meth. I used to smoke cigarettes. I heard a guy on Christian radio one time say, if you got yourself into the mess, don't expect God to get you out. But if that were true, we'd all go to hell. God didn't sin for us. We did our own sinning. But while you were yet in sin, he loved you. My friend's husband, have him stand up. Power of God's on him. Hit you in your spirit tonight. Pre-koto, you're never going to be the same from tonight. Come right around. Power of God's all over you, my friend. The Lord's going to loosen up your body. Any damage you took driving truck all these years, the Lord's going to heal you. Lift your hands right where you're at. Right there. As you do, the power of God comes. His mighty name. Behold, every joint loose. Rondo repa, iston di animo. It's called the fire of the Holy Ghost. That's what came on their heads on Acts chapter 2. That's what Jesus died, so that men could become the temples of the Holy Ghost and deliver this fire to their generation. Play Sturgis.
He came over here yesterday. Amen. We wanted to hear the message and see what was going on. And you walked up and you told him what he was suffering from. And you put your hand on his chest. And I've seen sideshows, but what I saw happen, I'm still dumbfounded. He left here, took the oxygen off of his nose, and he walked from here to our camp without oxygen. And at 10 o'clock last night, he was still without oxygen. And I think he put it on during the night because he's still not sure. He's not sure about what's going on. And today, all day until we got here, and he walked, he sat down and put the oxygen on a low level to assist him. But that man has not had a breath without assistance in over a decade. So, till yesterday. But cats like him and cats like me, you know, we ain't getting fooled. We're not going to be played or fooled. But what I saw yesterday, it was probably the most powerful thing I've seen. And we love the fact that you laid hand on him and it worked. Whatever you did, whatever God did through your hand, that man is going to live a lot longer than all of us had hoped. So thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Does that guy strike you as a liar? No. He'd been saved one day. They teach you in Bible college, you got to like warm up to that. No, people need healed. Amen. Give the Lord another great big hand clap on this awesome Wednesday night. So, the Lord told me to announce that theme for the year. The righteous shall possess, out of Psalm 37, the righteous shall possess the land and dwell therein forever. None of that was in the works, but you get what you say. And as we spoke that, the Lord opened it up for us, and the land was donated, and that's serious. I mean, 24.8 acres in a city, and I'm not one of these kind of people. I would take 24.8 acres on 666 Antichrist Road. I don't care, but I do find it interesting that the road that it's on is Mount Nebo Road, which was the mountain God took Moses up to gaze into the promised land in Canaan. What are the chances of that? So, I see Jesus all over the thing. And what you make happen for others, God makes happen for you. So if you think you can give into the building of a church and land, and then God leave you landless and buildingless, you're in for a rude awakening. What you make happen for others, God makes happen for you. Ephesians 6:8. Knowing this, whatsoever good any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. We had a lady drop off a check for $1 million. And she won't be the last one. So if you'd like to be person number three that it gives us $1 million at a shot. I had Pastor Bob, if you saw him Saturday, prophesied somebody's going to send in $5 million. If you want to do that, no problem. If when I said that, your eyebrows went up past your hairline, obviously it's not you. So just Just give it whatever level you're at. You know, California Christians reputably are some of the most generous givers in the entire body of Christ. Do you know that? And have been for a long time. So you don't need some big lesson on giving. You're huge givers. California people have a money anointing on them. They tax you higher than anywhere in the country, and you're still rich. You got creative. Amen. You got two cousins digging up your uncle's backyard as we speak because he was creative. So you're in for a good year. Amen. I mean, everybody say, I'm blessed. Say, I'll never be broke. Another day in my life. That's right. I want you to believe. I want you to join your faith with me that as you stand with us to see that church go up, a palatial church that makes a statement right on the interstate, that God's going to give you a hundredfold return back for you personally and your business in Jesus' name. How many of you believe that with me? Go ahead and pass out the offering envelopes. If you're making out a check, make it out to Revival Today. You spell thousand, T-H-O-U-S-A-N-D. Thank you for your giving online. I'll tell you what. Anyone who sows a seed of any size tonight, I'll send you this book, provided you go to claim my offer on our website after you give, revivaltoday.com, because otherwise we don't necessarily get your name and address. Venmo doesn't give us your name and address. Cash App doesn't give it. If you want to mail it, Revival Today, P.O. Box 7, Prosperity, Pennsylvania, 15329. I don't live anywhere near Prosperity, Pennsylvania, neither does the ministry, but I found out there was a town called Prosperity, and we got a P.O. Box there. That way, when people write letters in and say, we don't believe in prosperity, we just write back, where did you send the mail to? Revival Today, P.O. Box 7, Prosperity, Pennsylvania, 15329. And if you call that number and someone answers the phone at my office at 1:30 in the morning, let me know who they are so I can give them an employee of the month parking spot. Hey, this is Jonathan Shuttlesworth. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast, or if you're listening to my wife's, thank you on her behalf. If you want to be more than just a casual listener and stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, go to revivaltoday.com and click Give Now and be a part of the 1,000 monthly partners that we're believing for. I have a special gift that I'll send to you today, and I'll say thank you in advance. Until next time, thanks for listening. See you later.